Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning to you, Jim Gilbert. It is officially, we gained a degree, 38 now in the Twin Cities.
38? Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh. Well, here it's 32 and a half.
32 and a half.
I looked so closely at that thermometer, I thought, there's got to be. It's nearly overcast here in our yard on the northwest side of Lake Waconia, about 30 miles west of downtown Minneapolis. And there's frost on rooftops, and I should say this, before 6 o'clock, there was this fiery red sunrise, beautiful, but now it's nearly overcast, but the birds are just singing like everything. I mean, red-winged blackbirds trilling, mourning doves cooing, house finches singing. I heard a couple of ringneck pheasants making a double squawking sound. Canada geese are honking. Robin singing, beautiful morning. Sunrise, 6:07. Sunset, 8:15. So today in the Twin Cities area, we have 14 hours and 8 minutes of daylight, and we are gaining daylight at the rate of 3 minutes each day. We have gained 21 minutes of daylight since last Sunday, in a total of 5 hours and 23 minutes gained since, 5 hours, 23 minutes gained since the winter solstice on December 21st. So, with this, the 14 hours and 8 minutes of daylight today is what we will experience next August 14th. Put that in perspective. Kind of interesting. Takes the Earth a while to warm up. The normal high for day is 64. 64, normal low, 43. Records for today in the Twin Cities for April 28th, high 91, set in 2004. Low, just 26, set in 1907, again 1958, 1965. And on this date, in 1907, again 1994, it snowed 4.5 inches on the Twin Cities. We had this waning crescent moon that rose this morning at 3:44.
I saw it.
I was going to say you were on your way to work.
Yep. Oh,
great. And set this afternoon at 1:51. Our next full moon is Saturday, May 18th. Looking around the greater Twin Cities area, and of course into southern Minnesota, forsythia shrubs are loaded with bright yellow flowers. Magnolia trees and shrubs have white flowers, mostly white, so some have pinkish flowers. And red maples have red flowers. Apricot trees have light pink flowers. All these things are blooming already. Amazing. Here in southern Minnesota, we see a green tinge in the urban and natural forest areas as willows and box elders and ironwoods and even a few sugar maples have begun leafing out. I talked to naturalist Matt Shute early this morning. He had driven to Wabasha and Winona in the last few days, and he said the further south he went, the more the leaves were out on the trees. And that had grown out and gotten a little bit bigger. Our rhubarb is up several inches, but not ready to pull yet. I'm just wondering, somebody can maybe text us. Has anyone pulled their first rhubarb, and where are they from, and maybe made some sauce or pie?
Yeah.
Boy, and that, what a treat that is.
We'll look for that. 81807 is the text number.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're looking for the first rhubarb pulled.
Very good.
Okay. And in woodland areas of southern Minnesota, there are new green leaves out on wild gooseberry and scarlet elderberry shrubs, and early wildflowers such as sharp-lobed hepaticas, bloodroot, Dutchman's breeches, wild ginger are flowering. Prairie chickens, the males are performing their mating dances in far western Becker County. That would be west and north of Detroit Lakes. Sharp-tailed grouse are dancing on their leks, and that's near the Wabi. I know there are other places in the state up in that part of the state, too, but those I know for sure. At the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum, I was just there a few days ago, and Naturalist Matt Chute led a hike there yesterday. So our notes go like this. Forsythia, magnolias, the first daffodils, these are all blooming. Not, I don't mean all of them. Yeah, all those are blooming. Must be more than 1,000 Siberian squill with their purple-blue star-shaped flowers in bloom. In the Grace B. Dayton Wildflower Garden, dozens of wildflowers are poking up, and close to a dozen are in bloom, like wild ginger, Dutchman's breeches, snow trillium, bloodroots. Matt Chute saw, he was leading a hike yesterday, saw the first marsh marigolds had come into bloom on Friday, large-flowered bellwort, rue anemone, Minnesota dwarf trout lily, white trout lily, and even one yellow trout lily. So lots of things are happening outside. It feels cold, but you can't hold spring back. Art and Barb Straub report that from Henderson, Le Sueur area, that it's been ravaged by too much snow and rain in April and suffering from high water levels and very destructive landslides. But spring is in the air. Lots of migrating forest birds are returning. The western chorus frogs have been very vocal. Green herons are back. Wildflowers such as the sharp-lobed hepaticas and the bloodroots are blooming. As I said last Sunday, hundreds, probably thousands, of central and northern Minnesota lakes would be losing their ice covers very soon, and many of them did this past week. I have dozens of ice out dates that people have shared with me the past day or two, and I'll just do a few of them now. But if a listener here or several listeners would like to report a Minnesota lake ice out, note the date when at least 90% of the ice is gone. So it's 90%, at least 90% ice free. That way we don't have to argue about ice melting on the edge of the lake. Then we need the name of the lake, the nearest city or town, and the county the lake is located in. Now what you do is you send this to the Minnesota State Climatology Office, and their website is pretty simple. It's just climate.umn for University of Minnesota .edu. So climate.umn.edu. And there you can get all kinds of information on ice out on lakes, and you can record your own if you'd like to. Lynn and Gary Gray report that the ice out for Gladstone Lake near Nisswa in Crow Wing County was last Sunday, April 21st, 8 days earlier than last year. Common loons landed in the lake the same day, and osprey arrived there April 10th, right on time. My brother David notes that the ice cover left Lake George in Hubbard County this past Wednesday, April 24th. Now, Lake George is located 7 miles east of Itasca State Park in Hubbard County. Bud Stevens reports that the ice out for three lakes near Perham in Otter Tail County, I'll just name the lakes, Big Pine Lake, Little Pine Lake, and Rush Lake all happened this last Wednesday, the 24th. Last year was the 29th of April. Paul Lake near Perham lost its ice cover Thursday, April 25th, according to Ron, I hope I pronounce this right, Tobkin. And this one was also earlier than last year. Norton Stillman and his neighbor at the lake note that Roosevelt Lake at Outing lost its ice cover April 25th. And that was just this last Thursday, and last year was May 4th. Just a few more. Oops, I got to get the other page here. Bill Jones reports on the 25th, ice thaws for Upper Bottle Lake, Stocking Lake, Picker Lake, all in Hubbard County, right near Emmaville, not far from Park Rapids. Steve and Cheryl Hancock note that the ice out for Potato Lake near Park Rapids was April 26th. They also report that a common raven pair was feeding young high up in a pine tree right near their cabin. And the pine warblers have been back since April 24th. These warblers arrive there each spring, and they're there in the summertime and have been coming to their seed feeders already. That's no doubt due to a lack of insects. Mary Brislance from Lutzen reports that yesterday afternoon, a party of eight played golf played golf at Superior National after skiing at Lutzen Mountains in the morning.
How about that?
Ski in the morning, yeah. Play golf in the afternoon. Now, the neat thing about that, Lutzen Mountains is still going to be open for skiing and boarding next weekend, and people will have the chance to do that same thing, ski and play golf.
Excellent.
Same day. That's something. Mary also notes that rough grouse continue drumming, and some of the migrating birds returning lately include purple finch, red-winged blackbird, eastern phoebe, and both savannah and white-throated sparrows. And she said migrating dark-eyed juncos are very numerous in her yard. Do we have time for a few more?
Oh, we have a lot of time. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. It's so interesting this time. There's so many things happening. Ray and Marlene Simon from Northfield report that the first house wren arrived there and was singing on Tuesday the 23rd. In the week between April 17th and the 23rd, 5 inches of rain fell. Ray has installed two-pound packages of bees in two of his seven hives. A few of them made it through the winter okay, so he's just putting bees in ones that needed it. 24 bird species were coming to their feeding station yesterday, including a brown thrasher and a yellow rump warbler. The yellow rump warbler was feeding on the ground. Sometimes they come and eat a little bit of suet. Diana and Dave Herring, who live near Waterville, report that the apricot trees have begun blooming in their yard. They've seen male American goldfinches in bright breeding plumage. And Friday, some farmers were applying anhydrous ammonia and liquid fertilizer to their fields. They hadn't seen any field work being done yet. And that's mainly because the fields have been so wet. Val Rukovina from the Hopkins, Minnetonka area, house wren arrived this past Thursday in their yard and has been singing and going in and out of a nesting box ever since. Keith Radel from Faribault reports several eastern bluebirds are laying eggs, and one is already incubating 4 eggs on his bluebird trail. It's been incubating since April 20th. Tom and Lisa Bovers from Faribault on Earth Day last Monday, April 22nd, first house wren, first rufous-sided towhee, first barn swallow. And this past week, Tom has seen 6 migrating warbler species, including black and white, orange crown, and palm warblers. On Thursday the 25th, he heard American toads singing. There was a group there at Riverbend Nature Center that was studying vertebrate biology, and they were impressed to be able, this is from St. Olaf College, they were impressed to be able to hear American toads singing and know what they were. Common tree frogs also started calling that same day, and the spring beauty and the first purple violets were booming there at Riverbend Nature Center on Wednesday. Now I've got a report on what we call the big three. If you feed birds in your yard, there are three birds that you look forward to seeing, usually starting May 1st. And that would be rose-breasted grosbeak, ruby-throated hummingbird, and Baltimore oriole. Now, if I can get my notes straight, we'll get this right. Last Sunday, April 21st, Easter Sunday, first of the year rose-breasted grosbeak was observed by Mark Noble at his feeding station in Wabasha. And he's been keeping track for 18 years of the first rose-breasted grosbeak arriving. And this is 13 days earlier than usual. How about that? And rose-breasted grosbeaks winter in the southern part of Central America and into the north, kind of the northwestern part of South America. So they've come a long ways. And on Monday, and I've got to get this one right too, this one comes from Cannon Falls. Alicia Salandine at Cannon Falls took photos and a video of a female ruby-throated hummingbird at her feeders. The hummingbird feeder was put up last Sunday, April 21st, and the first sighting of a hummingbird Monday, April 22nd, Earth Day. That is so neat. And the last one, the Baltimore Oriole. Rob Watson from Maurer, Minnesota. I'm assuming that's in extreme southern Minnesota. I didn't have time to look it up this morning. I just got this information. But two Baltimore Orioles at his feeding station. He took a photo of a male and on the feeder, on his feeder, and then he put out half oranges, and then there were two there.
How about that?
That was Friday the 26th. First Baltimore Orioles.
Well, Jim, we have a bunch, and maybe we could do a kind of a lightning round before you leave us, a bunch of text messages. I'll just run them through fast. First yellow finch in Farmington this morning. White-throated sparrows migrating through the Annandale area, hearing their song. Ooh. Texter says, I picked my first asparagus Friday afternoon in Sanborn, Minnesota, Cottonwood County. Let's see. Mountain Lake, Minnesota, way behind you, it says. Rhubarb is not up. No leaves on any trees. No trees are flowering, although tulips are up. Let's see. Asparagus up 3 inches as of yesterday in Young America. Is it possible we could have seen a yellow-winged blackbird here in Minnesota? They're asking you?
That'd be a yellow-headed blackbird. Yes, definitely.
Okay. Yellow-rumped warblers in my bird feeder this week is Eden Prairie. And my rhubarb, not very tall yet, but I thought I would share this. Grandma always says, don't use rhubarb in a month with an R in it. How about that? Whatever reason. Jim, we're out of time. Let's I guess, yes. Let's meet again next Sunday morning for more Nature Notes.
Oh, look forward to it. Have a good week.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Bye.
Jim Gilbert, Nature Notes, next Sunday here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.